And here's Adley Simon busting it. He's in the midfield. 50, 45, 40. He could score. 25, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Adley Simon! That, my friends, is a 75-yard U of R Rams touchdown!
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
All right, here in Growing the Game with Ballsy, joined by former Regina Ram, Calgary Stampeder, most recently Saskatchewan Rough Rider, Adley Simon. How old are you now, right now?
I'm 24, turning 25 in a couple weeks.
Here. And you're now a retired football player.
What, I am, yeah.
What led you to that, what I would consider an early decision, but obviously not for you? What led you to this this outcome?
There's a few things that led me to it. I think the main thing is just my passion for, I wouldn't say passion just for football, but my passions are changing in my life. I've become a teacher. I graduated from university with an education degree in the last winter, and I was offered a full-time job at my alma mater at Harvest City Christian Academy, and they offered me an amazing job, full-time job there. And I've been teaching there since September, so I've been loving that. I've been coaching a lot of basketball, and I just have some specific goals that I want to accomplish as a man moving forward. And if anything I've learned from the CFL over the past couple of years that I've been out of university is how much of a business it is, and how unstable it is, especially now with COVID and everything going on. The stability of the league is kind of up in the air. So it was just more of a personal decision of wanting to have some stability in my life and enjoying what I'm doing right now as well.
So was the CFL not what you thought it would be?
I don't know. I think as a kid and even as a university student growing up, you put the CFL as a pedestal, I think. Especially as a kid growing up in Regina and watching the Riders and a guy that's excelled in that specific sport and had people telling me all the time as I was younger that I had the ability to play in the CFL. I did put it on a pedestal and made it a goal to eventually get there. I think once you're in there, it's a different experience. You know, growing up, football is just all about having fun and playing the game and being with your boys and doing that, and as soon as you get to the pros, it becomes a business and it becomes your job. And some people react to it differently. You know, some people can excel in that environment, and some people just, it's not for them. And not to say it wasn't for me, I think if I really put my mind to it and maybe I wasn't done school or I was in a bit of a better position in terms of my spot on a roster, I think I'd still be playing, but those things didn't play out that way, and I just made that decision for myself.
You know, you were a star player with the Rams, star player with the Trojans, then the Rams, Tom Trojans, mm-hmm. that is, and then the Rams. But when you come to the CFL, a lot of Canadian guys find out that they're not a star anymore, and that's no disrespect mm-hmm. to you. It doesn't mean your talent's not good. It just you're a bit player. Was that yep. did that take away some of your passion?
I don't know if I knew coming in after being in two camps with the Stamps and then on the PR with the Riders, it's just a different level. And I think the biggest thing that I've always said is in youth sports, your top end talent guys can definitely compete in NCAA in Div 1 football, and they can excel there. It's the depth of the youth sports. So because you're not playing against the best all the time as a top tier player, when you go to the CFL, you have that learning curve, and it takes us a little bit longer for us to develop and get up to the speed of the game and all of that. And as a Canadian, especially in a skill position as myself at running back and receiver, if you're not stepping in there and showing that you can pick up that speed right away, right, you're kind of behind the eight ball. And the CFL is all about opportunity. There's how many Canadian spots you're able to get, and there's a lot of Canadians looking for it. So if you're not getting that opportunity to step in and show what you have right away, then you're kind of fighting from behind, trying to get the attention of the coaches and whatnot. So it is definitely eye-opener when you get there, but I'm confident in myself. I decided to go back this year that I would have been able to make the squad, but I just made that decision.
And you got to be comfortable with that decision for sure. Atlee, you know, you talk about the CFL being unstable. Do you think a way to make it more stable? Besides, I think one way is long-term contracts for guys instead of 1 year here or there. But I think, you know, I've always said this league should – I get the whole global thing because they're trying to expand the league and they're, you know, hopefully maybe get global dollars, which I don't think we've seen yet. But I think Canadians, like young Atlee Simon wanted to play for the Riders. I feel like the Canadian dream's kind of dying almost. It's like we want to get rid of Canadians. Do you feel that way? Like, I think a way to keep this league stable is to solidify our Canadians, if not grow our Canadians on each roster.
Yeah, I agree. And if you're not a either a fullback, a lineman, or a receiver, you have a tough time for as far as a young running back, right?
Yeah.
Coming into the running back room, you're kind of looked at as strictly a special team guy. And you've watched me for a long time. I've been a guy that coming out of the backfield, I've been carrying the ball. I've been returning kicks. I've been doing all that. Not a lot of the fullback blocking type of thing. So, and as for myself, it's not that I don't think I can do that. It's that I've never been asked to do it. And it's not specifically my skill set. So jumping into the CFL, where that's where you're expected to, what you're expected to do as a Canadian, right? That's, again, that's another learning curve that I had to go up against. So I agree with you. I think we need to find a way to get more Canadians in the game. I think they can contribute just as much. And as Canadian fans, for people that are watching, I don't know why Canadians wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
Especially as a homegrown guy, there's lots of Rams that have played on the Riders, and I think that's a good marketing tool to be able to point to. But
well, yeah, you know, when I see, like, even like your brother's a great player, he's younger than you, but I bet you if I asked your brother, hey, who's your idol? A lot of guys I ask, they don't say Atlee Simon, no offense, but they don't say Andrew Harris. Yep. They say Aaron Jones or Derrick Henry or Luke Kuechly or Julio Jones. They're looking at the NFL. And I think that's our own piss poor marketing here, not only at the amateur level, but in the CFL too. I think it starts at the young level. We got to promote our guys. That's why I do a podcast like this. But okay, so let's just wrap up with Atlee Simon stuff. So you said you have new passions now to be like a mentor of youth. Where did that come from, and how do you go about doing that?
No, it's been a passion of mine since I can confidently say I haven't had a job since the beginning of university. It hasn't been oriented with taking care of kids, teaching kids, coaching kids. It's always been something that I've just been attracted to. I love coaching. I love coaching basketball actually more than I would like to coach football. I've been coaching at Harvest City and at camps since my first year out of high school.
Why is that? Why do you like basketball coaching aspect better than football?
I don't know. I do enjoy coaching football, but I love basketball. I've grown up playing basketball. For people that don't know, I had scholarship offers out of high school to play basketball as well. And now that my younger brother, who's a heck of a player, is he's on that journey of getting into university and getting his scholarships, and I've been coaching him since he was in grade six. So I've had that kind of opportunity to spend some time with him. And
which way is he gonna go?
He hasn't been playing football for a couple years now. He's been strictly basketball. And he's already has a couple NDS, a couple of Div 1 interests right now. So he's on that journey to do better than even me. So I'm excited. I'm going along with that journey with him. But I just love working with young people. I've had some incredible people in my life growing up that have shaped me into the man I am now. So just have that opportunity to do that for younger people is exciting for me. So
yeah, what's it like, Ben? What's it been like your first year teaching to teach in a COVID world, man? To coach in a COVID world, that's interesting.
Yeah, no, it's been a mess for sure. Especially the first year teacher, I'm kind of running around with my head cut off a lot of the time, not knowing what's going on. But because I'm at my old high school, I'm so familiar with all the staff, and they've been amazing helping me with that learning curve. And coaching wise, I've been organizing because high school sports aren't going to be happening this year for the most part. I've been trying to organize a little mini bubble league for some high school boys around the city to get them some film and some reps, because it's tough for these high school kids that are in grade 11-12. They're missing out on a lot of opportunities to potentially get some scholarships and even go to college, and it's bigger than just playing basketball for a lot of these kids. So just trying to find ways to get them on the court and get them some film or just some reps to be able to continue the development.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge, Atlee. And I know you're a man of faith too. You got a big faith background. And one thing we always talk about here, and something I'm interested in looking at here, is a foundation in the new year to help athletes, artists, musicians who deal young kids who deal with mental health problems and mental health stresses. And I'll tell you what, part of your mentorship, I would assume, has to do with dealing the mental health aspect of this. It's a blow to these kids. No, my son didn't have a grad last year. Who knows what's going to happen this year? Senior high school football guys, that's a big, you remember your senior high school football days.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. Basketball, all that stuff. It weighs heavy on these kids. And I think we preach it a lot, but we don't really, sometimes we forget about it too.
No, exactly. And I'm just looking at, because the public school board and RSHAA or whatever, they're kind of taking a step back at right because of the everything going on. So as a teacher and as a athlete who understands these things and how it takes a toll on their mental health and how important those things are, some people just look at it as a sport, but a lot of these kids look at it as their life and what makes them happy. So trying to find ways to help them get through that and give them some outlets is everything. So and like I said, that's the type of passion that I've kind of stepped into. Still has a lot to do with sports. You're not going to get me away. I'm going to be around the football field. I'm going to be around the basketball court, but just in a different aspect.
Okay, so lastly, put a bow on this conversation. This is a football podcast. Do you have a favorite Ram memory, either a game or a play or something in the locker room that you think about here as you wrap up your career?
Oh, man, you could ask. There's a lot of them. I was actually just talking about this with my girlfriend and my dad the other day, but just my fourth year in general, I came in with like a lot of pressure, obviously, putting that pressure on myself to make it to the CFL, my draft year, right? And I set out to make a lot of goals. I had a lot of goals for myself, and a lot of them was to become a CAMS All-Star, become Male Athlete of the Year at the U of R, and to get drafted. And God willing, I was able to accomplish all of those in that year. But if anyone followed me that year, it was a very rocky start and didn't look like it was going to come out that way. But looking back in that year, I think I had the biggest growth in myself, and not even just on the football field, just as a person. So that whole fourth year, I think it was 2017, was probably the best year of my Rams career, but I could go on about memories in my playing days.
You're one of the, I've called a lot of games and been around a lot of football. You're one of the most entertaining players I've had a chance to watch and describe what they're doing on the football field. But the one thing we talk about sports, building better people, you're hoping to do that. And by the sounds of it, football had a big hand in helping build you into the great dude that you are. Thanks for this. Continued success. And we'll see you around somewhere, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks, Ballsy.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.